Welcome and thank you for tuning in to 88.9 WNYO's only hockey exclusive radio talk show. It's Behind the Glass with me, Liam Godimer, and thank you so much for joining me on this beautiful Saturday morning here at SUNY Oswego. And today I got a lot of exciting things on tap. We are going to break down two of the biggest divisions in the entire National Hockey League. First up, we have the Metropolitan, followed by the Atlantic Division. Of course, the Atlantic Division had given us our Stanley Cup final winner, the Tampa Bay Lightning, last year, 2 years running. So do I have them at number one? We shall see. But let's get right into things, because there's a lot of information to look at. We're going to look at the record in 2020, where they finished in their respective divisions, playoffs. Did they get to the playoffs? Did they not? Key subtractions. Who did they lose? Who did they gain? Who went to Seattle? Because, of course, the NHL expanded to its 32nd team in league history, the Seattle Kraken. So all teams except the Vegas Golden Knights had to give up a player to the Kraken so they could start their franchise, and the team outlook for this year. So let's get right into things. Let's start with the Metropolitan Division, and let's start with number one. I sit here as a massive New York Rangers fan. They are my life. If you know me, you know that the Rangers are everything to me. But who's at number one? It's not the Rangers. I'm not that messed up in the head. Number one is the Rangers' biggest rival, the New York Islanders. I'm not a fan of the Islanders, but man, do I have to respect that team, because 2 years running, they look like absolute dynamos come playoff time. But let's get into it. The 2020 record for the Islanders, of course, in the shortened COVID season, they went 32-17-7. Very impressive. That was good for fourth in the Eastern Division. Can you believe that? A record that is nearly more than 10 games over 500 just got them into the playoffs. And spoiler alert, they made it all the way to Game 7 of the conference finals. So it just goes to show you, if you're new to hockey and if you're new to the NHL, do not take too much stock into where teams finish in the regular season, because the difference in game style and gameplay come the playoff time really changes. And with the Islanders, it changes more than any other team in the NHL. Once they hit the playoffs, once they step on the ice in big time moments and key situations, Barry Trotz has his team ready to play. So they finished in fourth place, but it didn't matter, because in the playoffs, they faced the first overall team in the Eastern Division, the Pittsburgh Penguins. They beat them in six games. Then they beat the Boston Bruins in six games. And then finally, like I mentioned before, they took on the Tampa Bay Lightning in the conference finals, going down in seven games. So, key subtractions for the Islanders. Well, Nick Leddy is the only one that I could really come up with. This team has stayed relatively intact. Lou Lamoriello, the general manager of the New York Islanders, made some key moves during the offseason, including adding Zach Parise and Zdeno Chara, but he lost Nick Leddy. He needed to get rid of that $6.5 million cap hit, and he was able to do that with no problem, trading Nick Leddy along with some futures over to the Detroit Red Wings. And additions, I just went into it. Zdeno Chara, Zach Parise, are these guys going to jump off the page? No, they're not, but they are veterans, and to win a Stanley Cup, which is the Islanders' aspiration to do, you have to have the veteran players mixed with your young players. And now with Parise and Chara, they have that. Let's go into each of them. Zach Parise spent the last 6, 7, maybe 8 years with the Minnesota Wild, signed identical contracts with the aforementioned Wild as Ryan Suter back in the summer of 2012, I want to believe. And just this summer, Minnesota Wild general manager Bill Guerin finally made the decision. He bought him out, and he bought both players out at the exact same time. That just goes to show you the dangers of taking on very long-term contracts to unrestricted free agents. But Zach Parise is still getting paid, but he's still looking for a job in the National Hockey League. And who did he play for initially in his career? Well, he played under Lou Lamoriello with the New Jersey Devils. So it definitely makes sense that Lamoriello and Parise would circle back to one another, a chance for Parise to win that all-elusive Stanley Cup. Of course, Parise made it to the Stanley Cup final in 2012. When the Devils lost to the Kings, obviously going to Minnesota. Minnesota never reached a Stanley Cup final during his tenure with the team. So he certainly has a chance to do so with an Islander team that is making to look to make an impact in this 2021 season. And the other guy, oh, it's no big deal. It's just the tallest player in NHL history, Zdeno Chara. And you know what? Like I mentioned with Zach Parise and Lou Lamoriello, again, circling back to each other, I guess you could say the same for Zdeno Chara. Not in a specific correlation with Lamoriello, but Chara, many people don't know this. If you're a diehard hockey fan, obviously you do know this. But Zdeno Chara actually started his career with the New York Islanders. And I know what you're saying. Started his career with the Islanders. Why in the world would they ever get rid of Zdeno Chara? Because he may not have had the skill, but he was always 6'8", or however tall he is. He's probably 6'9", 6'10" on skates. Why would they give up on a guy like that? Well, the Islanders didn't really see much in Chara. I know. Well, luckily, the Islanders 20 years later see something in Zdeno Chara that the Islanders 20 years previous did not. He is 44 years old. I believe he is the oldest player in the National Hockey League, but it does not matter. If you're competent on the ice and you're 6'8" and you have the stick reach that Zdeno Chara has, he is going to cause absolute havoc for opposing offenses. This is a great move. This is a player that wants to win another Stanley Cup. Of course, Chara winning his first Stanley Cup as captain of the Boston Bruins in 2011 when the Bruins defeated the Vancouver Canucks to win the Stanley Cup. So those are two huge additions, literally in some forms with Chara, right? Haha. Who went to Seattle? Who went to the Seattle Kraken in the expansion draft? Well, the Islanders lost one of their best players to the Kraken. They left exposed Jordan Eberle. And Jordan Eberle was a good Islander. And if you go back to when the Islanders acquired Jordan Eberle, it was in exchange for Ryan Strome in a trade with the Edmonton Oilers. One for one. Eberle for Strome. And I was scratching my head at the time when that move was traded. It was that move was made, excuse me. That was a Peter Chiarelli special. And if you're a hockey fan, you know what I mean. Peter Chiarelli is a general manager for many different teams during his career and is notorious for making the bad trade every now and then. And he certainly did that in the deal involving Strome and Eberle. Of course, Ryan Strome would then get flipped to the Rangers for Ryan Spooner. And we are definitely appreciating the riches that have come our way since acquiring Strome. But Eberle goes to Seattle. That's a hit. If there's one downfall that the Islanders had, not only last season, but the season prior, when they really started to make their way into a significant form of contention, it was goal scoring. They were not able to put enough goals on the board. It was essentially Matthew Barzal and Anders Lee and nothing else. And, well, of course, they have J.G. Pageau now and Palmieri that they just re-signed as well. But Eberle takes a hit. He was playing on the first line last year. In Game 7 against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the conference finals, he was playing on line 1, line 2. He was in that top 6. So if you don't think that's going to have some sort of a detrimental impact on the team, then, you know, I don't really know what you're seeing, because Jordan Eberle is a good guy and he's a really good player and he's going to be a fantastic addition for the Seattle Kraken and a little bit of a, you know, just a small, you know, just subtraction from the Islanders. If they, you know, come a goal short, or if you look past at this 2021 season, once everything is all said and done, you say to yourself, well, if they had just scored that one goal in that big spot, I'll be thinking back to Jordan Eberle and just what if they had the extra scoring touch. But that's what comes and goes with the expansion draft. You know, yeah, sometimes you have to give away your best player, and that's exactly what happened. Jordan Eberle is not the Islanders' best player, but he's one of them. So we shall see. It's going to be good for the Kraken, for the Islanders. They're going to have to make an adjustment and definitely have some of their young players, such as Oliver Wahlstrom and Anthony Beauvillier, really step up as we move forward here. And what's the team outlook? Well, you tell me. They went to the Stanley Cup final in 2020 in the bubble. In 2021, they went to the conference final against the Tampa Bay Lightning. They lost in 7 games in 2020. And in 2019, of course, they lost in 6 games to the Tampa Bay Lightning, the same team. And the Lightning went on to win the Stanley Cup. And I would sit here and tell you that as a diehard New York Rangers fan, if the Islanders won Game 7 and moved on to the Stanley Cup final, then they would have won the Stanley Cup. They would have defeated the Montreal Canadiens, and they would have won the Stanley Cup. The only team that was going to stop the Islanders in their tracks were the Lightning, and they did. So what's the team outlook? It's Stanley Cup or bust. It's time. They have everything they need. And the number one thing that teams that are aspiring to win a Stanley Cup do not have that they need is the mix of veteran players and young players. And Lou Lamoriello, like I mentioned before, added a veteran player to the top 12 forward group, and he added a veteran player in the top six defense. It's exactly what you need to do. So for the Islanders, it's Stanley Cup or bust, and Liam Gadamer, I have them at number one in the Metropolitan Division. Let's move on to number two now, and a team that has a little bit of controversy circling around them with their offseason moves. I'll get to that in just a moment. But the Carolina Hurricanes in the 2020 shortened season, well, they finished first in the Central, and their record was 36-12-8. They make the playoffs. Of course they made the playoffs, but they went down to the Tampa Bay Lightning in round two. And like I mentioned before, of course, they went on to win the Stanley Cup. But one of the best seasons that the Hurricanes have had in recent memory. So the expectations are very high for this team. So that's why I have them at number two. But once you get to the key subtractions, that's when you begin to realize that maybe this is not going to be a similar outcome that the Hurricanes saw last season. They lost two big pieces that really came off the top of my head as prominent ones. Number one was Peter Mrazek. Peter Mrazek, the goaltender who came to Carolina a few years ago and really turned around his career and made himself into a starter. Before that, he was not a starter. He had some time with the Philadelphia Flyers, with the Detroit Red Wings, but it just never seemed to work out. But then he went to Carolina, he found his game, and he became a starter. Well, he's gone. They decided to let him go in unrestricted free agency, and I'll tell you who replaced him in just a moment. But the other player that they lost is of much more significance. Dougie Hamilton became an unrestricted free agent this offseason, and the Hurricanes, they could have afforded to pay him, but it was going to cost a lot of money. And based off of the contract that he ended up getting from the New Jersey Devils, it was a lot of money. I believe it was around $9.5 million average annual value per season. And I just don't think that that is an area that general manager Don Waddell for the Carolina Hurricanes was willing to go in negotiations. So he lets Dougie Hamilton walk, has a little bit of extra cap space on his hands, and well, he has a little bit of an opening now on the defense. Oh, there's a lot of guys you can go for in unrestricted free agency to help your defense. But he goes for one that was very, very surprising. And he signed Tony DeAngelo. And as I just mentioned, I am a huge Ranger fan, so Tony DeAngelo is fresh in my mind. And there's never been a question of talent with Tony DeAngelo. Tony DeAngelo, the hockey player, is very good. He is an offensive defenseman who knows how to put up points. But it's the off-ice stuff that has really, I wouldn't say ruined his career, but definitely put a significant hamper on his career. But Don Waddell, he takes a little bit of a risk signing DeAngelo. And I remember, and if you're a big hockey fan, you certainly remember, that right after this signing was made official, you had Carolina Hurricanes fans calling the season ticket offices and saying, look, I'm renewing my subscription. Not renewing my subscription, the exact opposite of that. I am taking away my subscription for season tickets because I don't want this guy on the team. I don't want somebody like Tony DeAngelo on the team that I love the most. And if you don't know, now you do. Tony DeAngelo has kind of been seen to be a little bit of a locker room cancer. He's gotten into a few fights with his Rangers teammates. He's very outspoken about his political beliefs, and it has gotten him into a little bit of deep water, I guess you could say. But the Carolina Hurricanes and Don Waddell, they took a risk, and they ended up signing him, and we'll see how it works out. And if there's one coach that can take Tony DeAngelo, quiet him down a little bit, and make him focus on the game and what he does well on the ice, I believe it's head coach Rod Brind'Amour. And, you know, going back to the coaches for just a moment, I believe that Barry Trotz and Rod Brind'Amour, the coach of the Hurricanes and the Islanders, the teams who I have one and two in the Metropolitan Division, they are the two best coaches in the NHL. Both in the same division, both at the very top. How awesome is that? But yeah, so Tony D'Angelo is a Hurricane. We'll see how that works out. I believe it is a one-year deal, so if it doesn't work out, then they don't have a lot of, you know, risk attached to the deal. The other key addition, I mentioned that the Hurricanes lost former goaltender Peter Mrazek. Well, they picked up another goaltender. It's Freddie Anderson. Freddie Anderson, again, another controversial figure. Not necessarily for what he does off of the ice, but what he does on the ice. Previously, Frederick Anderson was a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and of course, playing in the city of Toronto, of course, the epicenter of hockey. If you do not perform up to expectations, the fans will turn on you, and they will turn on you very, very quick. And that's what happened to Freddie Anderson, you know, in stints with the Maple Leafs. And it came a time that the playoffs last year, once the Maple Leafs got into their first round matchup against the Montreal Canadiens, Freddie Anderson wasn't even the starter. Jack Campbell, who was his backup, played all the way. And Campbell played pretty well. But you got to ask yourself, would things have changed if Freddie Anderson were in the net? Personally, in my opinion, I like Freddie Anderson, and I like Freddie Anderson more than I like Peter Mrazek. So I think that is an upgrade, a slight upgrade, a very small one, but an upgrade nonetheless. And finally, the last key addition, and perhaps the biggest one, and the most shocking move made in the entire offseason, belongs to Jesperi Kotkaniemi, formerly of the Montreal Canadiens. Well, I mentioned this a number of times on Behind the Glass, but I'll mention it again just for those who weren't able to listen the first time. Jesperi Kotkaniemi is a young player. He was drafted number 3 overall in the 2017 NHL entry draft by the Montreal Canadiens. Came out of Finland. There was a lot of hype around him. He was expected to be an excellent two-way center who was going to turn around this Habs team. The Habs team did turn around, but no thanks to Kotkaniemi. Like I mentioned before, the Canadiens and the Maple Leafs faced off against one another in the first round of the playoffs last year. And Jesperi Kotkaniemi, he was a healthy scratch. And he was a healthy scratch for most games all the way until the Stanley Cup final. And I don't even believe he hit the ice for the Stanley Cup final. But like with most young players, it was time for Jesperi Kotkaniemi to become a restricted free agent. And if you're a restricted free agent, you have the right to ask for as much money as you want. And Kotkaniemi asked for $6.1 million in total from Marc Bergevin and the Montreal Canadiens. Marc Bergevin said, no way. What are you talking about? I mean, you haven't put up 30 points in an entire season. You want $6 million? Please, get out of my office, probably what he said to Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Well, Don Waddell picked up the phone, and he called Kotkaniemi. He said, hey. Kotkaniemi said, hey. And they had a conversation with one another where Don Waddell pretty much said, I'll pay you $6.1 million. Kotkaniemi said, sure. And he put in an offer sheet. And if the Montreal Canadiens did not sign the offer sheet, then Kotkaniemi would become a member of the Carolina Hurricanes with draft pick compensation going the other way. And Montreal decided not to match. They said, nope, I'm not paying you $6.1 million. I'll let you go. So Kotkaniemi goes to the Hurricanes, and we'll see how that changes. And there is one big reason why I like this move, and I think it may be a worthwhile risk to acquire Kotkaniemi. The Carolina Hurricanes are a very Finnish-heavy team. A lot of players from Finland. Teuvo Teravainen, Sebastian Aho, and now Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Those are three of your top forwards, all from the same country. And I know it may not seem like it holds a lot of value over the radio airwaves, but I promise in the National Hockey League, it does. When you have a Finnish player playing with two guys from America, and this Finnish player is 19, 20 years old, it's hard to develop chemistry. So I'll be very interested to see if head coach Rod Brind'Amour for the Carolina Hurricanes decides to make the bold decision and have Kotkaniemi play with one or both of Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen. But time will certainly tell. Who did the Seattle Kraken lose? Who did the Hurricanes lose to the Seattle Kraken? Well, Morgan Geekie. And a lot of people may not know who Morgan Geekie is. He's a young player. He played in the bottom six for a majority of his time with the Carolina Hurricanes. Has a lot of size, is a center, excellent in faceoffs, hasn't put up a lot of points, but a worthwhile pickup for the Kraken, but nothing that's going to hurt the Hurricanes too much. So on to the team outlook now. Well, it's a little bit tough because I can't really sit here and say Stanley Cup or bust because unlike the Islanders, I think that the Hurricanes have a lot more time to make the Stanley Cup dream a reality. Their players are young. Their coaching staff is young. This is a team who is going to be at the forefront of this division for years and years to come. So team outlook, I think you got to get to an Eastern Conference final. I'm not going to say Stanley Cup, but you got to get farther than you did last year. And last year they made it to the semifinals. So, and on to another team at number three, who is on the up and up and definitely will be at the front of the list of the Metropolitan Division for many years to come, is the New York Rangers. The New York Rangers finished their 2020 season with a record of 27-23-6. They finished fifth in the Eastern Division, just one spot away from making that playoff run. Did not happen. The Rangers did not make the playoffs, but I'm sitting here and I have them making the playoffs. And if all turns out like I have it, the Rangers would face the Carolina Hurricanes in the playoffs again, this time with Tony DeAngelo on the other side. Ranger fans, if you are hearing me right now, you know exactly what I'm referring to. And if you don't, just look up Tony DeAngelo, New York Rangers, Carolina Hurricanes on YouTube, and you'll find the video. Very, very interesting. So let's get into this key subtractions for the Rangers. And there's really one. There's one player that steps up in my mind more than any, and it's Pavel Buchnevich. The Rangers general manager Chris Drury took over for Jeff Gordon and John Davidson, who were fired late last year. And the first move he made, he traded Pavel Buchnevich. And just like I mentioned with Jesperi Kotkaniemi, Buchnevich was a restricted free agent. Buchnevich wanted some money. The Rangers said, you know, we got a lot of other players to pay. You know, Alexi Lafreniere, Kaapo Kakko, Adam Fox. I don't know if I have $5.5 million to shell over to this player who had a career year. So, what does Chris Drury do? He gives a call to Doug Armstrong, the general manager of the St. Louis Blues, and says, Hey, Doug. Do you want Buchnevich? And he said, Yeah, I want Buchnevich. Who did he get back? Well, it may sound a little bit like an underwhelming return at first, but Drury received back a second-round draft pick, which could work out, but you never know, and Sammy Blais. Sammy Blais is a guy who has never played in the top six on any team. He's played with the St. Louis Blues his entire career, has never made the top six. He's been a bottom six grit grinder type of player, penalty killer. And a lot of Ranger fans were saying once this move was made, why would you make this move? Why would you trade a guy in Buchnevich who just put up near 30 goals the season before and acquire a guy who doesn't play at the top of the lineup? I'll tell you why. The Rangers don't need more guys who play at the top of the lineup. They're good. They have everything they need. You know what they need? They need some guys to play in the bottom six and hit some people. Put the body on them. And that's what Sammy Blais does. So I think it is going to work out very, very well for the Rangers in the form of Sammy Blais. And I'm not saying that they're not going to miss Buchnevich, but I think that Chris Drury and myself, sitting here as a Ranger fan, we're counting on improvements from the young guys in the top six. Kaapo Kakko, Vitali Kravtsov, Alexi Lafreniere, so on and so forth. Key additions, I just mentioned, of course, Sammy Blais. And two more who also have a significant part of this bottom six for the Rangers, and they're two entirely different players. Number one is Barkley Goodrow. That was the big free agent signing that the Rangers made this offseason. Goodrow, of course, played for the Tampa Bay Lightning the last 2 years after getting acquired at the trade deadline in 2019 for a first-round pick, and well, he won the Stanley Cup, and he was a big part of the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup. That third line of Yanni Gourde, Blake Coleman, and Barkley Goodrow is the best third line I've seen in years. It's the best third line that I have seen in the NHL since 2015. And you know what third line I'm talking about? In 2015, the Tampa Bay Lightning had a third line of Nikita Kucherov on the left, who's just, you know, one of the best players in the NHL, by the way. And this is the third line. So Nikita Kucherov on the left. They had Tyler Johnson in the middle. And on the right, they had Andre Palat. That is the best third line I've seen since then. And unfortunately for the Tampa Bay Lightning, they weren't able to keep them around. Yanni Gourde goes to Seattle. Of course, Barkley Goodrow goes to the Rangers. And Blake Coleman goes over to the Calgary Flames, which we'll get to on another episode. But they add Goodrow, penalty killer, grinder, plays in your bottom six, wins faceoffs, is a glue guy, everything that you want out of an acquisition and a free agent signing. They signed him to a six-year deal, which I guess ruffled some feathers around the National Hockey League. But myself, as a Ranger fan, I'm happy with the move, and I think that he serves a larger purpose than what the stat line and what the contract necessarily says about him. And finally, the last key addition, and boy, am I excited about this one. I have not been this excited about an addition to a New York Rangers roster in years, well, not in years. I guess you could say Artemi Panarin. The day Artemi Panarin signed with the New York Rangers, I was watching on my TV. I got the alert, and I started crying. And I literally started crying because Artemi Panarin was my favorite player. He was an unrestricted free agent, and there was nothing else in the world I wanted than to see him on my favorite team. What a great day. I think that was July 6th. I don't want to put an exact date on it, but I have a Snapchat story to remember, just me weeping and then just turning the camera over to the TV, just in excitement, glee, emotional, just everything running through my head. But the player that the Rangers acquired this offseason serves a much different purpose. Ryan Reeves, Revo, is coming to the New York Rangers in a trade with the Vegas Golden Knights. I could not be more excited to have Ryan Reeves on the Rangers. And Ryan Reeves does not do anything like Artemi Panarin does. Ryan Reeves, he doesn't score goals. He doesn't pass the puck much. He doesn't win faceoffs. He's not a penalty killer. You won't find him on the power play. He is here to knock guys on their butt and just hit them, hit them, hit them, provide that physical aspect that the Rangers have been missing. And this is going to be such a different Rangers team, man. Goodrow, Blay, and Reeves. Let's get the fisticuffs rolling, baby. And you know, if you are a hockey fan or a general hockey fan, you'd know that one of the best parts of the game is fighting. Well, if you want to watch a lot of fighting, watch some Ranger games because there will be a lot of it this season. And as far as who went to Seattle from the Rangers, unfortunately, Colin Blackwell. Colin Blackwell was great for the Rangers during his time here. We signed him to a two-year deal in unrestricted free agency, and boy, did it work out. Blackwell, again, a glue guy, played in the bottom six. He did everything, unlike Revo. He was a penalty killer. He saw time on the power play. He saw time on the first line, the second line, the third line, the fourth line. He was fast. He could facilitate the puck. Everything you want out of a bottom six player. The Kraken are going to love him. So definitely enjoy Colin Blackwell, and I hope he has a ton of success with Seattle. Team outlook, you can't expect a Stanley Cup for the Rangers this year. I mean, of course, I would love it, but you have to have realistic expectations. For me, the team outlook, win a playoff series, and see significant improvement from your young players. That's all I'm looking for. And finally, at number four, I have the Washington Capitals. Their 2020 record was 36-15-5. They finished third in the Eastern Division. And in the playoffs, they lost to the Boston Bruins in round number one. The Capitals are a team that is getting a lot older. But they re-signed their number one guy, number eight, Alexander Ovechkin. His contract was up. He was an unrestricted free agent, and he signed a five-year deal with the Capitals. And just a little interesting tidbit about Alexander Ovechkin in just a moment here. Ovechkin signed a five-year contract with the Washington Capitals. He needs to average 32 goals per season during the next 5 years to break Wayne Gretzky's goal record of, I believe it is 894 goals. That is just incredible, asinine, whatever adjective you want to put forth, that it certainly is. So the Capitals, again, they finished well last year, but they lost in seven to the Boston Bruins. For me, it's what have you done for me lately? And the Capitals, well, they lost to the Bruins in 2020. If you go back to the bubble, they lost to the Islanders. They didn't even look ready to play in that series. If you even look before that, they faced off against the Carolina Hurricanes and lost in seven games. This is a team that since winning the Stanley Cup in 2018 has not made it past the first round in three consecutive years. So that's why I have them at number four. And as far as, you know, key subtractions and key additions, I couldn't really come up with many for the Washington Capitals. They really left their roster as is. And the main one that I could think of was Vitek Vanacek. And, of course, Zdeno Chara, who played 1 year with the Capitals last year and went on to the Islanders. But I think they'll be fine without Chara. They have a lot of good defensive depth. But they lost Vitek Vanacek, their young goaltender, to the Seattle Kraken. And I saw that and I was like, oh, no. You know that TikTok song? Oh no, oh no, 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 no. Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because I knew Ilya Samsonov was not very good last year, and they needed insurance at the goaltending position. This is hilarious. So they lose Vanacek to the Seattle Kraken. And then 2 days later, well, the general manager for the Washington Capitals picks up the phone and says, Hey. I'm looking for you, Ron Francis, general manager of the Seattle Kraken. I want Vitek Vanacek back. He acquired him right back. Gave him up, exposed him in the expansion draft. Once they took him, said, I'll take him. And took him right back. So that was a necessary move. So it goes from an oh no to, as the Kool-Aid man likes to say, oh yeah. For the Washington Capitals. And as far as the team outlook, of course, this team still wants to win a Stanley Cup. I still think that they have a chance to do so, but their window is slowly, slowly closing. And we will certainly see where this season takes Washington. But for right now, I have them fourth in the division. We are going ahead to our first break on Behind the Glass. On the other side, I have 5 through 8 in the Metropolitan Division coming your way right here on 88.9 WNYO, the Laker Radio Network. Back in a moment. Welcome back to Behind the Glass with your host, Liam Godimer, right here on 88.9 WNYO, the Laker Radio Network. On the previous side of this break, I broke down 1 through 4 in the Metropolitan Division, and now we're going to go through 5 through 8. And unfortunately, I hate to burst your bubble. If you're looking forward to an Atlantic Division preview, it looks like it is going to have to wait until next week because this has gone much longer than I expected. And look, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing at all. The more we're able to engage in, you know, meaningful conversation about the National Hockey League, the better. Because I don't want to go out here and just read off a bunch of stats. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about where these teams have been to start this season and where, excuse me, and where I think they are going to be going into next year. Wow, I just lost my voice just like that. Welcome to being a radio DJ, ladies and gentlemen. But let's get to number 5, and we're going to start with the Philadelphia Flyers. And the Flyers, well, it's an even year. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you're a hockey fan, you certainly do. The Philadelphia Flyers, they just tend to make the postseason in even years. They just tend to do that, you know, every other year. And this looks like it might be the year for them, but I do not have them making the playoffs. I thought they made some good additions, but I just don't think it's enough to move them up, you know, a lot in the Metropolitan Division ladder here. But let's look at their 2020 record. Very underwhelming if you're looking at the Philadelphia Flyers. They finished with a record of 25-23-8. They finished 6th in the Eastern Division, so I have them moving up a spot, although the divisions are not even close to the same as they were last year because of the COVID-shortened season. They had to mix around the divisions, but now we're back to normal starting in the regular season coming up very, very soon. And the playoffs, well, there was no playoffs for the Philadelphia Flyers last year. Certainly disappointing to themselves and their fans. And a big reason why there was no playoffs, well, Carter Hart. Carter Hart is the goaltender for the Philadelphia Flyers, and he's young, and he's extremely talented. He's got Carey Price-type potential. Yep, I said it, Carey Price-type potential. And going into last year, The thought process was relatively simple. This was going to be the year for Carter Hart where he broke out and fully, full-on established himself as the number one goalie in Philadelphia. Now let's go back to a little tidbit that I mentioned earlier about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Freddie Anderson was a part of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he just couldn't handle the pressure. He was at the epicenter of the hockey world. He was in the biggest hockey market, you know, definitely right in the middle in Toronto, Canada, and he was unable to handle the pressure. And that's kind of what I think happened to Carter Hart. He was going to be under constant criticism from the Philadelphia Flyer faithful, and it just didn't work out to where there was a successful season for either the goaltender or the team. So let's look at some key subtractions. Nolan Patrick, if you remember, was drafted number two overall in the 2017 NHL entry draft. Went right behind Nico Hischier in that draft. Philippe Myers, Jacob Voracek, and Brian Elliott. Now, those don't seem like huge subtractions, and I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that they are. Patrick is a young player who was drafted very high, like I just mentioned, in his draft year. He's gotten concussion after concussion after injury after injury after injury. And it's really unfortunate because this guy is very, very talented. He ends up getting traded to the Vegas Golden Knights as a part of a three-team trade that included Ryan Ellis going to the Flyers and Cody Glass going from Vegas to the Nashville Predators. Philippe Myers, again, a depth defenseman. They moved on from him. Jacob Voracek, well, this one's certainly a shocker, but if you learned how much Jacob Voracek is getting paid, you wouldn't be as shocked. Jacob Voracek is getting paid, near $6 million, and in the flat cap era where it's not going up, it's not going down, but it's definitely not going up, teams and general managers have to allocate their finances and resources in a very specific way. And unfortunately for the Philadelphia Flyers and their fans, just a big part of that resulted in Jacob Voracek being dropped off from this Philadelphia Flyers roster. And of course, they lose Brian Elliott as well. Brian Elliott was previously the backup goaltender for the Philadelphia Flyers. He is no longer a part of the team. He played a very pivotal role last season because, like I mentioned before, Carter Hart was not very good last year, so the Flyers turned to Brian Elliott on multiple occasions to get some better starts out of him. But he moves on to the Tampa Bay Lightning, which we'll get into next week when we discuss the Atlantic Division. And key additions? Well, the key additions definitely outweigh the key subtractions. I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that. Who did they add? Ryan Ellis, like I just mentioned in that three-team trade. I love Ryan Ellis. He's a top four defenseman. He grinds. He's got a hell of a slap shot. He's just everything you want out of a defenseman. He's on a team-friendly contract. I think he's signed for the next 3 years at a cap hit just under $5 million. That's excellent for a guy who's going to be playing in your top two. I love that move. Martin Jones, of course, spent the majority of his career with the San Jose Sharks. Never lived up to the hype. Again, good insurance. You need a backup. Brian Elliott moved on. You go with Martin Jones. Again, I don't dislike that move at all. And finally, Rasmus Ristolainen. Rasmus Ristolainen, the big bruising defenseman from the Buffalo Sabres. He was rumored to be moved on from for a number of years. And finally, the Sabres pulled the trigger and trade him over to the Philadelphia Flyers. And boy, did the Sabres get a haul back for Rasmus Ristolainen. They got a first, a second, and I believe it was Philippe Myers sent back in that deal. I could be wrong on that, but I'll double check that after the show and get back to you next week. And they got Cam Atkinson. And where'd they get Cam Atkinson from? Well, the Columbus Blue Jackets, which is exactly where they traded Jacob Voracek. It's just one player with a bad contract traded for another player with a bad contract. It's as simple as that. Both teams, the Blue Jackets and the Flyers alike, are just hoping that a change of scenery is going to change the trajectory of each of these players' career and maybe, just maybe, make each of their contracts worth it. And who went to Seattle from the Philadelphia Flyers? Carson Tourinski. I think believe Carson Tourinski played a few games with the Flyers last year, maybe in 2019 as well. Never made a big impact on the roster. But for the Kraken, again, this doesn't surprise me. They're looking for as many young players as they could possibly get, and they take a flyer with Tourinski. with the pick from the Philadelphia Flyers. Team outlook, make the playoffs. That's it. Just make the playoffs. I have them slated for fifth in the division, but I think they can do it. I think if Carter Hart has a bounce-back season, if Martin Jones gets back to close to the goaltender he was 3-4 years ago with the San Jose Sharks, and the defensive replacements come in and make a big impact, this team can make the playoffs. But for me, there's just too many ifs surrounding this team for me to put my full-on confidence in them. But look out for the Flyers this year. Maybe they can make a little bit of headway in this Metropolitan Division. At number six, this is where things get interesting, the New Jersey Devils. And you probably are thinking to yourself, wow, there's a particular team that you're omitting. You know, the team that won the Eastern Division last year? Yes, the Pittsburgh Penguins. I have them at seventh. And I'll get into that in just a moment. But first, let's talk about the New Jersey Devils. The Devils in 2020, they finished 19-30-7. Not good. They finished 7 in the Eastern Division, 7th, excuse me. They did not make the playoffs, obviously, being 11 games under 500. Key subtractions, they lost Nikita Gusev to the Florida Panthers, but no harm, no foul. Gusev was a big-time prospect out of Russia, went to the Vegas Golden Knights, had his rights, traded a few years ago to the New Jersey Devils. I had high hopes for the kid. I thought he was going to be a superstar in the league, just did not work out that way for him. So he is gone, but the key additions, that's where it really matters. They add Dougie Hamilton, who is the top unrestricted free agent on the market, getting him from the Carolina Hurricanes. He is a number one defenseman on a team that desperately needed it. Very good. Jonathan Bernier, he was signed to become the backup goaltender. I believe he spent his last couple of years with the Detroit Red Wings. That's good. Mackenzie Blackwood and Jonathan Bernier, that's a good tandem. I like that a lot. And also, and this move was made in a trade, earlier in the offseason, and a lot of people may have forgotten about this, the Devils acquired Ryan Graves from the Colorado Avalanche. Yes, that Ryan Graves, the one who was formerly on the New York Rangers, who was traded to the Colorado Avalanche for nothing. And then he went to the Avalanche and put up great numbers. One of the best plus-minus statistics in the entire National Hockey League is now a New Jersey Devil. So now I look at it. It's a rejuvenated blue line. You got young offensive pieces, Jack Hughes, Nico Hischier. It's going to be a good team. Not going to make the playoffs, but they're going to be improved. And who went to Seattle? Well, Nathan Bastian. Nathan Bastian, again, another young forward. Seattle, very consistent in what they're looking for in acquisitions from other teams. They want guys who are flying under the radar, guys who can come into training camp and really change things around. And I believe that Nathan Bastian could be one of those key pieces for the crack in this upcoming season. The team outlook, again, very simple. It would be great to make the playoffs, finish in the top five, because they finished seventh or eighth. You know, I can't tell you how many years running. So just get out of that bottom, get out of that cellar, make some headway, get yourself moving forward in the Metro, add some more pieces next offseason, hope you get some help in the draft. Alexander Holtz, which the Devils drafted in the previous draft, kid's going to be so good. Once the Devils have all their players ready and in their lineup consistently, Devils are going to be a good team. Watch out. Watch out for New Jersey. And at number seven, yep, the moment you have all been waiting for. The Pittsburgh Penguins. Their 2020 record, 37-16-3. They finished first in the Eastern Division. They did make the playoffs. They ended up losing in round one to the New York Islanders. I chose the Islanders, by the way, in that series. I have never been a fan of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And it's not that I don't like the team, or I don't like the logo, or I don't like the branding. It's just, I just think that they're a team that is going to be on a significant decline. And I was sitting here this time last year, not on WMYO, but on my own podcast, The Penalty Box. Definitely go check it out on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. But I sat there and I said, the Penguins are going to be seventh in the division. And I was way wrong, way off. They ended up, obviously, like I mentioned before, earning first place in the Eastern Division in the shortened season. But this year, I just don't think it's going to work out the same way. Let's get into it. Key subtractions and key additions, really not a lot. They lost Cody Ceci, who's a top six defenseman, had a really good year for the Penguins. But he ends up moving on to the Edmonton Oilers. Mark Jankowski, they had a chance to tender him a qualifying offer, decided not to do so. He became an unrestricted free agent. And the key additions, really one, Brock McGinn, signed him to a multi-year extension. A guy who can play in your bottom six, kill penalties again. You know, just that glue guy that every team needs. And who went to Seattle? Well, this is where things start going downhill a little bit for the Penguins in three different areas. Number one, the guy who went to Seattle was Brandon Tanev. Brandon Tanev did not have a good contract. And like I mentioned, I was not a fan of the Pittsburgh Penguins last year and just the product they were putting on the ice. But let me tell you, Brandon Tanev was the bright spot on this team. He was the guy. He was more than a glue guy. First line, second line, third line, fourth line, power play, penalty kill, everywhere. He was everywhere on the ice, a pest, as people in the hockey community like to call it, but a pest in a good way, not a pest like, you know, you need to call an exterminator, you know, because there's bugs in your fridge or whatever. Now, he was a good type of pest. And the team outlook, Wow, I just missed something. Wow. The biggest reason why I have the Penguins in this number seven spot, Evgeny Malkin, one of the best players on the Penguins, the second best player on the Penguins, you could argue, maybe third. He is going to miss the first 2 months of the season, at least knee surgery this offseason for Gino. He's slowing down. He's over 35 years old. He's going to miss the first 2 months. I think he's going to end up missing more than that. That's a big hit. And also, one of the best players in the world, even at his increasing age, Sidney Crosby, he had wrist surgery. He's going to be out for the first month of the season. So I predict that the Penguins are not going to get off to a good start this season. And by the time Gino and Crosby come back, it's just not going to be the same. And the goaltending is not good enough. Tristan Jarry is not good enough. Casey DeSmith is not good enough. I could see it all crumbling down for this Penguins team this upcoming season. And if I'm wrong, I will happily come on the Behind the Glass radio show and say I was wrong. Eat my words. You know, that's what you got to do when you're analyzing hockey and, you know, and different sports. You know, that's the key to all of it. And finally, at number eight, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Oh, the Columbus Blue Jackets. I have a little bit of a funny tidbit in here, but what we start out with is not funny. Matthias Kivlenyk passed away on July 4th this year. A firework exploded and he got in the pathway and he ended up passing away as a result of the incident. Matthias Kivlenyk, don't forget his name. He was at a party with teammate Elvis Merzlikins, who is also a goaltender. Merzlikins was there with his wife and his unborn child. His wife was pregnant at the time. And a firework went off, and it was bad. And what did Kivlenyk do? He didn't back up and try to save himself. No. He jumped right in front of the firework to take the fall for Merzlikins and his family. He died so Merzlikins could live, and his wife could live, and his unborn child could live. That's hero behavior. So Matthias Kivlenyk, we miss you, we love you, rest in peace. And the entire hockey community is having you in our thoughts and prayers this season. Truly, truly a hero. And he stopped one more puck. He made one more save when he saved his best friend's life. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. But for the Columbus Blue Jackets, it's not as beautiful, because in the 2020 season, they were 18-26-12, one of the worst records. They ended up finishing eighth. That was last in the Central Division. They did not make the playoffs. Key subtractions, they lost Seth Jones. Of course, they lost Matthias Kivlenyk. May he rest in peace. And they added Adam Boqvist. Boqvist, who was acquired in the Seth Jones trade. You got to love it. Who went to Seattle? Gavin Bayreuther and the team outlook. Well, for the Blue Jackets, just build something. You don't have Tortorella in there. You maybe, you know, get a better season out of Patrick Laine. And definitely, more than anything, just try to honor Matthias Kivlenyk as well as they possibly can. This has been Behind the Glass with Liam Gadamer. Thank you so much for joining me on this beautiful Tuesday morning here at SUNY. Saturday morning. Wow, Tuesday. Beautiful Saturday morning here at SUNY Oswego. I will catch you all next time on Behind the Glass. Thank you so much for joining me on 88.9 WNYO, the Laker Radio Network.